It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, old person. We have to talk about the thumbs up emoji.
Okay.
Do you ever use the thumbs up emoji?
Yeah, all the time.
What do you use? Are you attempting to convey when you use the thumbs up emoji?
I mean, it kind of depends on context. Sometimes it's, you know, I got the message. Sometimes it's like Wilco, you know, it's like, yep, I'll do that. Or, I don't often use it to indicate, you know, I like this or whatever, or like, I agree with this. It's usually a got it or seen it, or, you know, I acknowledge okay. Receipt of this and I feel positively toward it or whatever, you know?
Yes. Is that how you interpret it when other people use it with you?
I think so.
Yes.
But if this is in contrast to when, like, usually when someone does this, like in out there in the real world, and not in a Zoom call either, like Zoom calls, when I'm on Zoom and people do that, I interpret it more like an emoji. But if I see someone doing it out in the real world, it's like, I'm okay. Or
I assume, or I agree. Right. No, this is very specifically about the emoji.
Yeah.
Because, Ryan George, who we all know and love, who does the pitch meetings, has a separate channel where he does his own things.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a great bit where all the emojis got together to discuss what they're used for, and the eggplant found out the bad news.
Yeah.
And in that, the thumbs up one, they specifically said people use it to mean a passive aggressive okay, unless they're over 40, and yeah, then they mean okay.
Yeah, I remember that, and I remember and talking I to Abby this,
and I was like, "I mean, okay, do other people not? I'm over 40. Is this a thing?"
Yeah, Abby and I talked about that too. We thought, "Oh, I didn't know there was two tiers of this or whatever."
But that's funny. Ryan George is not, you know, my source of expertise on how the internet works or anything. So I wasn't positive, but I started asking around. But being an old person, I mostly only know old people, except the nibblings next door.
Mm-hmm.
So we're over for dinner a few weeks ago, and I'm talking about this stuff and to the adults in the room. And the oldest teenager walks through for something. And I was like, hey. And he's like, what? I said, what do you interpret if somebody sends you the thumbs up emoji? And without missing a beat, he said, how old are they?
Hmm.
And I was like, my age? And he was like, then it probably is just like, okay, great. I'm like, okay, your age? And he's like, well, in that case, apparently it's a real thing. It's not consistent, as such things can't really be. And sometimes young people will mean it unironically. But yeah, it is meant much more as sort of an eye rolling, okay, thing when young people use it. It is meant passive aggressively. But none of us old people got the memo.
You know, one time I was talking to somebody in text, and I said, we were having a discussion about something. It wasn't really a debate, but we weren't completely seeing eye to eye, you know, and they made a point that was a perfectly good point. And I said, fair enough, which I say all the time in casual conversation. And they were completely offended by that because they thought that was a dismissive thing to say. So I had to convince them that that's not what I meant by it at all.
That is interesting.
I really, truly meant you're making a fair point. I concede that point, you know, is what I meant. And they were completely offended by it. So I had to really.
I don't believe I have ever encountered in my life or in media a sarcastic use of the phrase fair enough.
Well, I never had, but this person seemed to feel
fair enough is like touche. It only, well, actually, I have run into a sarcastic use of touche, but no, yeah. Like actually, like that's a. Yeah, no, that is one of those that I interpreted unambiguously as that is a good point.
Yeah, good point. Fair enough. Right.
Yeah.
But this person
or at worst, agree to disagree. But like
this seemed like a regional difference, right? Like this person in conversations they had in the real world in this part of the country, eastern part of the country, that it seemed
maybe
like
that's the thing, because I mostly encounter it in UK stuff. I don't always, but I encounter it there a fair bit. And again, always legit interesting. Interesting. Well, you should have just given a thumbs up emoji.
Yeah, I think that would have worked because this wasn't a much younger person, a little bit younger, but not that much younger.
I was. My sister and I talk every week on the phone and we have a set day for it, but it varies because we both are homemakers. And so that means we are usually free, but also our schedules can vary wildly because we don't have like a set job. So we've gotten to the point lately where things are busy enough that like usually earlier in the week, we'll check in like Wednesday still good. And sometimes we know, and when we talk, we're like, next week, we got to do it this way. But so that is common. And I had sent a thing. I'm like, so I'm calling Wednesday. And this was shortly after I learned all this. And she sent back the thumbs up emoji. And I was like, remind me to talk to you about that emoji when we talk. And so I didn't. She didn't know either. So I told her the whole thing. And so then like cut to the following week. And I was like, yeah, okay, that'll work good. I'll talk to you then. And she sent it. Oh, it was because there was actually an emergency that happened. And she's like, we can't talk this morning. Can we do it tomorrow? And I said, that's fine. No problem. Good luck. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And she sent that. And then like a minute later, she's like, I didn't mean that sarcastically, by the way. I meant that for real. And I just replied, I know you're old.
Right.
But yeah, that was fascinating. I have never, that is not a thing I've encountered before. That is my first instance of an emoji in the hands of different age groups can mean different things. There is a version in that there are a lot of emojis that are used metaphorically, and I suppose there are people out there old enough who use them as literal. Unless you're talking about an eggplant, I know what you mean by the eggplant emoji. Unless you are talking about actual fire, I know what you mean by the fire emoji. Things like this.
Yeah.
This is the first one that it's like, we all mean thumbs up, but we mean it like with a different facial expression attached to it, basically. And I had never run into that before. Now I'm very curious.
I suspect there's lots of variation in how people use the eye roll emoji. I have a feeling some people only use that when they're like really frustrated or want to really convey something negative, but I use it all the time for lots of things. And I suspect I overuse it.
Yeah, no, you're probably in the wrong there. Cause I don't, I interpret that as an eye roll, as if a person was eye rolling their eyes. In general, I interpret the face ones as if somebody was making that face, which is actually, I get a thing. There are a couple of emojis I use that I associate as like sort of beaming smiles. That are technically, I believe, meant to be embarrassed smiles.
Whoa.
Because they are blushing slightly. Every once in a while, you're in a place where you can see what the wording is, like in chat programs and stuff like that. And so I wonder, but I use them a lot. And those are usually, I just think of them as sort of happy smiles in a way. But I figure that distinction is insignificant enough that it's never been a thing that worries me.
Yeah, probably not.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Cat podcast, the only podcast in the world that really means it when we give you a thumbs up.
Yeah, this means a good
Everybody
thing.
Else, sarcastic. Oh,
always good.
I am Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 658.
Oh, my goodness. That's too many. Too many episodes.
That's a lot of episodes for sure.
Now that's really happening. I don't know what we're going to do for the devil episode. We'll have to think about it. Because it's coming up soon. Very just nice. In time for Christmas?
It well, I, again, as I think I've said before, we're going to have a podcast on the winter solstice. And I think that's the one.
Oh. So everything... All people said about pagans is true. Oh my goodness.
Let's see. 58.
If you're just joining us for the first time, we have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Sometimes people write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. It was sort of whatever they want, a lot of topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically all on its own forwards us email, and we read them, we talk about them. When that doesn't happen, we vamp. And as of this moment, we don't got any, so... So how's your week been?
That's some good vamping. Oh,
first
right
of all, I'm mad at you.
Why?
Because you saw a really cool movie and apparently never told me about it.
Because
you saw The Empty Man.
Yeah.
Before I saw The Empty Man.
And so you told me about The Empty Man. Really cool. And I mean, I think we liked it all right, but I must have just forgotten to bring it up.
So you didn't rewatch it after I told you.
So we just realized.
Vaguely remember that.
Yeah, we'd realized we'd seen it. Yeah.
All right.
Because, I mean, we kept seeing previews for it over and over and over again on whatever it was on. It's like, well, let's watch it, see how it goes. I mean, we were reticent. Because it looked like a Final Destination, you know, team.
No, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
But and it also had a title in keeping with all of those dumbass ones, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, to be fair, they deliberately set that up.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, they want you to think that's what's happened.
No, but it wasn't, you're right. It wasn't really like, I mean, it really wasn't like that. If that's the kind of thing you like, I think you'd still like it. But if you don't like that kind of thing, you might still like it. And yeah, I think we liked it all right.
Well, it's much more unique. If that's the kind of thing you like, close your eyes and throw a dart at your Netflix queue.
Right.
You'll find a movie like that.
Right.
This one was different.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting.
And Trish really liked a lot of the visuals. She thought the visuals were rather scary in a way that she liked.
Good.
It didn't impact me as much, I think probably because I watch more such movies, but it did crack me up though. It had a really weirdly long ending with lots of like weird symbolic stuff going on, and you kind of hit that same, it had a variation on the same thing of in a monster movie, but when you actually get to see the monster, it's not nearly as freaky. It kind of had that thing near the end. It was like, all right.
Yeah, my imagination. But
in this case,
better.
I'm like, you didn't actually need to do that. So,
yeah. Yeah,
I guess it was that perfect.
It was okay. Good. It was okay.
All right. What you been up to besides No, I was going to turn practicum into a gerund and decided against it.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's see.
See? Well, I can think before I speak sometimes.
Probably the biggest thing was we did a lot of fall stuff over the weekend. Went to the pumpkin patch, went walking in the leaves, went, you know, driving to look at the fall colors and stuff, had the kids over, had a fire,
did a montage for Instagram.
it was the stepdaughter's birthday on Sunday, 28th birthday. So we celebrated that. So there was a lot of stuff over the weekend around that. Most of what happened, you know, during the previous week was just, you know, same practicum stuff I'm still working on. We're watching various TV things. Oak Island comes back in November, but before before it comes back, there's always like 5 or 6 recap episodes that you can watch, which are actually kind of fun to watch. So we watch those. And so we've been doing that. But I mean, you know, the stuff we watch is not going to be interesting to most people. Most of it's documentary stuff. Some of it's true crime stuff. And I don't think most people are interested in that the way we are. What about you? How'd your week go?
My wife told me about a thing on Apple TV Plus, but she couldn't remember the name, and she just mentioned it in passing. I haven't looked it up yet. And it is, now here's the thing. She said it because she thought I might be interested, but the problem is I'm either very interested or not at all interested because it's a spooky thing, and I don't know if it's a real spooky thing or a fake spooky thing presented as real. If it's a real spooky thing, I do not give a shit. If it's the other one, maybe. But the conceit of it is there is an audio only recording from, I think, 1962 of a supernatural event taking place. And they have essentially used the audio from it, but visually had people recreate it.
This does sound interesting.
Right?
But she doesn't remember what
unless it's real, in which case I mean you might still be
interested in that.
As a premise, I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, as a premise, so also as a fictional present, it's cool. But you don't remember what it's called?
She didn't remember. I haven't looked into it.
But it's yet. On
I
Apple.
She just mentioned like last night. Yeah, apparently it's on Apple TV Plus.
Oh man. I'll have to look into that. I'm gonna make a note.
There once was a software tech at Applied Systems named Susan Henningsen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who that is?
Yes.
All right. We saw her last week.
Oh, yeah. Where was she?
In Los Agaves, where we were having dinner. But here's the thing. I saw her, and I'm like, she doesn't live in Iowa.
Yeah, I thought she moved.
She did, but her parents didn't, and she was here to celebrate, I think, Dad. But here's the weird thing. She's older than me, which I had not realized. She looks pretty much exactly the same as when we left. It's very weird. Her son is 22 now, which was really freaky.
Yeah.
But yeah, she looks like, I always talk about my wife looks much younger than her age, but holy crap.
I'm not sure I'd recognize Sue. I mean, I might, but I don't know.
Apparently, like, she still works for Applied.
She does?
Yeah.
Maybe she wouldn't recognize me either, because I didn't have
she knew who you were.
Oh, she did? Okay.
But partly in context of she knows about our podcast, so.
Oh, okay.
But.
Yeah. We didn't have a lot of conversations together or anything, but yeah, I know who she is.
What's funny is she remembered my name, and it took her a few seconds to remember Trish's. And I'm just like, that's backwards, because Trish was practically her surrogate mom for those first couple of years. They sat right next to each other, and Trish did a lot. But yeah, it was neat to see her.
Yeah. It's fun to see people from
Africa. Apparently, they applied as on the verge of getting rid of Vision.
Yeah, that was starting even before we left. They were.
Yes, and it hasn't happened yet.
Well, yeah, that's the point. It's too bad. I mean, people put a lot of effort into it and stuff, but I mean, there were problems with it, and it didn't surprise me that they were just going to abandon it and move to something else. Which I don't even know what that was, but that whatever that something else is has been around now for a very long time.
Yeah. All right, what have I been up to? I wrote a list. I think it's a pretty big list, but there's not a lot to talk about. Okay, we talk about that one. I am finally catching up on Ted Lasso. As you know, I was really dragging my feet for a while. In part, there's part of me that, like, is it a time and place thing? Am I going to watch it and it's not going to feel the same to me? And I'm pleased to say no. Show still kicks ass. That being said, I don't think it's, like, the first time it got me in the feels very hard and it changed my perspective and it gave me a lot to think about and all sorts of stuff. And I'm not having that impact again. Now I'm just watching it as a TV show. The thing is, it's a fucking objectively good TV show.
A lot of good things about it, for sure. Yeah.
All that stuff aside, it's just a good show. And so I'm really enjoying that. We finished Fall of the House of Usher.
Yeah, I'm really curious to know what you think after seeing the whole thing.
I think it's probably one of the better pieces of television I've seen in a while. I really liked it. I thought it was really good. I have quite a lot of nitpicks, but they are very much nitpicks. I did not get all the answers I wanted. This is a nitpick, and I think here's the problem. This might just be true of all television shows, because if I can't give you an example that this isn't the case, but they didn't quite stick the landing. Near the end, it all felt kind of like they were like, oh shit, we have to finish this, hurry. But when I think about it, I'm like, I can't tell you a show that didn't feel like that.
Yeah, it doesn't do that, right?
I think I must just have very specific expectations about the ending of the show and have yet to have them met. I don't know. Yeah, there were bits and pieces I wanted more of. But yeah, really liked it. It was, in my opinion, a very tight show. And it is very interesting. I have talked a little bit with some people who view it more as a Poe adaptation and think it's really good as that, which again, I don't. But I understand why, because we talked about the sort of plot elements and references and stuff. Those get more and more dense as it goes on. In a way that, for a lot of people, it's like the presence of Poe things means it's an adaptation of Poe, and the presence of more things means it's a better adaptation, which is not, in my opinion, how those kind of things work.
Me neither. I don't think of it that way either.
But... But again, I just have little sort of gripes in places, little nitpicks. In general, I really thought it was good. Not necessarily the best horror, because it is very, you know, the scary parts and you know the not scary parts, and like it goes back and forth. But just as a compelling TV show, I really liked it.
I thought the performances were just really so good. I mean, everybody really delivered, I thought.
Actually, and this is maybe a little bit more than a nitpick. There was never any question as to its message, to its political stance, per se. Near the end, it got to a point that I would pull out the old word preachy, to be honest. It got a little heavy in the state of the world, and the and pharmaceuticals are evil. And we keep getting into, well, it cracked me up because we get into like how many lives were ruined and how many deaths because of this opioid. And I'm like, that's a real thing. However, if we're playing that game and we're making it like visually, there's all these dead bodies or whatever, because it's horror, you know, we have to also acknowledge that opioids, for all that they are abused and horribly done, opioids have also saved a lot of people's lives and made a lot of people's lives better.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's a net balance, but I'm like, if we're doing this game of like how many lives, like, well, then there's more math involved. it is not as cut and dry as pain medication is evil. Like, no.
Right. No, you're correct about that.
And it, at, in the end, we got more and more into that sort of thing. And I'm just like,
Yeah, no, this was the first one of his things that was very, I mean, okay. So there, it's one thing for there to be political aspects to something, and it's just, you don't really feel like, you feel like it's just part of the plot. You don't really feel like you're necessarily getting the viewpoint of the creator. In this case, it felt very much like you were getting the viewpoint of the creator, which, again, it's fine. I don't have to like it or agree with it. But if, even if I do agree with it, if it passes a certain point, it's, it does get kind of annoying. It's like, look, I agree with what you're saying in this case, and I don't in every case, but let's say that then in a particular case I do, that's still going to annoy me, because it's like, stop doing that. Tell me a story. I'm not in church. I'm not looking for a sermon. Even if it's not about whether I agree with it. It's just about, this isn't what this is supposed to be for.
Well, it was satirical to a point, and then it reached the point of diatribe.
Yeah. That's right. And I had some of the same thoughts that you had about, okay, well, this isn't exactly nuanced about this thing, which it didn't have to be. I'm not saying it has to be or whatever, but can we get back to just telling the story? And you know, it started to really sort of get away from that. But I mean, you know, it, most of the time, again, even if it was expressing viewpoints you don't agree with, it fit the story, right? It's like, okay, this fits. I get what they're saying. And it didn't really cross that line too much, but sometimes it did, especially like you said, near the end, it kind of started.
And the whole, I guess the opposite of the sins of the father idea. At a certain point, we had something bad happen to a person, but because of what they did before the bad thing happened, other people went on to do good things. I'm trying to avoid spoilers here. But if that's the case, it goes back further. It's one of those, well, the person who did the good things that later had the effects couldn't have done that without the bad person first having put them in that situation.
Exactly right.
And it's just like, how far, like, by this token, everything good and bad that has ever happened is basically Genghis Khan's fault. Like, we can't, and we very much picked and chose which things we were giving credit and blame for.
Which, again, sometimes when that happens, you get, okay, this is how the plot works, you know, and you can let that go. But if things start to be too,
if you have monologues about it,
it starts.
And I will also say this, I wanted more. I mean, the whole time Trish was yammering on about this, I wanted more about Mark Hamill's character. We got some more. I wanted more. But I am also very much convinced near the end, he got his own monologue. And I after he finished, I'm like, that's why he took this fucking acting job.
Was agreed.
To do that. And he's amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
I am so happy. I mean, no, I'm just going to come out and say it. I am so happy that Mark Hamill does not have to be associated with Luke Skywalker anymore. Luke Skywalker is, in some ways, the worst thing he's ever done. It's not the worst, but the worst things he did were largely things of people trying to use him after Luke Skywalker in a similar fashion and doing a terrible job, or the classic him accepting a job to try and move away from that. Once everybody stopped fucking paying attention and let him just do what he was good at, that's when his career really started, in my opinion.
Yeah, he was really good at
it. And it's amazing. He's a he's a really amazing voice actor, but he's just a phenomenal actor.
Yeah.
And he can be very funny. He can be very serious. It's quite interesting.
But also, so you were talking about, you know, the fellow who played Elliot in E.T.
Yeah.
Did I get the impression that you didn't realize that until this
yes,
one?
Very much.
Okay. All right.
I didn't get it until I was looking him up for some reason. And I mean, and he's been in tons of stuff. He's had a hugely prolific career.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So when Hill House first came out, you know, we know it right away. We were always made, like, if there was some scary thing in Hill House, you know, we'd go, Elliot, you know. But I think maybe we caught it sooner than you did because we were older when E.T. came out. Did you even see E.T. in the theater?
I did. I was extremely young. I screamed. It gave me nightmares.
Oh, no. So, yeah, I mean, I remember everything about seeing it in the theater. You know, I've followed Drew Barrymore's career, you know, knowing, oh, that's Drew Barrymore from E.T. and him too. Like everything he's ever done, if I saw him, oh, that's Elliot from E.T. So we recognized him right away in Hill House, but probably because we were older when it came out. I can imagine we must have recognized him because of that.
Such E.T. stands.
Well, that's the funny thing is I don't think I've seen E.T. since one time since I saw it in the theater. I don't think I've seen it one time. I often forget the gal who played the mom. Sometimes she's in something and I'm like, I recognize her and I have to look her up and go, oh yeah, that was the mom from E.T. I often can't quite place her, but like Drew Barrymore and this guy whose name I never remember.
I think the older shitty brother is also someone.
You're right. He is, but I can't.
Because I think it came up recently from something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But him and Drew, I always, you know, I've always, oh yeah, that's from E.T. That's always how I recognize them. And Firestarter, which I didn't see, but I remember the ads for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have you seen Firestarter with Drew Barrymore?
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Is it any good?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. I'm wondering if you saw it.
I didn't watch a lot of Stephen King stuff, and what I watched told me that Stephen King stories make bad movies.
And that's still mostly true. That's still mostly true. Mm-hmm. But I think Stand By Me was pretty popular.
Stand By Me was good, and The Shining was very popular. I don't watch The Shining because same reason I don't watch most Roman Polanski stuff now, because fuck Stanley Kubrick.
Mm.
He destroyed a person's life to make that movie, and I'm not okay with that. And also because, I don't know, I'm tired of it. I'm tired. The Shining is all in here and I know it all.
What else about your week though? You probably saw some
stopped watching Changeling.
Oh,
because I went to go look up what the plot was.
Okay.
And I found out that most of my usual sources didn't want to tell me. Nobody had really filled in much details and stuff, but what little blurbs were there really made me think, I think this might turn into something I actually would really like. So I went back and I watched the fourth episode, and as soon as it was done, I was like, never mind, I'm out again.
I'm really not surprised.
Trish has continued to watching. She only has one episode left, and I was in the room during some of it. Definitely am glad I'm done now. And actually, just before we started this, I sort of broadened my search things and was able to learn more about what happens. And definitely glad I'm done. On two levels. One, I don't think it's a story that I'm like or am interested in. And two, they fucking didn't resolve it. Like, in the book, they resolve it. And in the TV show, they didn't, clearly, so they could have, like, another season.
Season, yeah.
Because there was stuff. That's the thing. The internet's got a bunch of, like, well, what happened? And I finally found one that was like, well, if you base it on the book, this is what happened. But for some reason, they stopped before that point. And left things kind of vague and stuff. So, yeah, I am happy to be out.
So I've seen things explaining it, and you know, sometimes when I watch a show and then I see someone explaining it, what they explain is completely different from what I took away from it. And sometimes they're more valid, and I realize, oh, I must have missed that piece. And sometimes I think they're crazy, but in this case, I really didn't follow it at all. Like, whatever anybody says, I almost have to believe them, because I didn't. To me, the whole thing was really confusing.
Yeah, so. The penultimate episode, I was in the room and Trish finished it, and I turned to her, I'm like, so is it all clear now? She's like, not really. She's like, a little bit more, but not enough that I think it's going to get resolved in one more episode.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, I'm happy to be done with that one. I think phone games are bad for me.
Oh.
Playing a lot of them, and I've suddenly realized I think they create an extra sort of low-level stress.
Oh, interesting.
That is not great. It's not necessarily a distress, but just more things. Oh, I gotta check on this. Oh, I got another level of this or whatever. Because I play these idler games and stuff. So I'm considering what that means and how I want to handle that. The other night, I was making supper. And Trish decided she wanted to watch a movie, and we didn't really have anything on tap. So she's just cruising through streaming services looking at trailers for horror movies. And when I finally sat down, she's like, apparently I don't want to watch a horror tonight because none of them seem good. I thought I did, but like everyone, I'm like, eh, I don't want to watch that. She's like, but I found something else that I haven't seen in a long time that I'd be really willing to rewatch. And it was something I'd seen also. So instead, we watched Blade.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
What was that like? Wow, that's really old now.
90s. Wow. It was very, very 90s. Oh. It might be the most 90s film ever.
Wow.
It's amazing. holy crap.
But you like 90s, right? I mean, that's kind of your jam, isn't
well,
it?
I appreciated it, but not like unironically. Like, it's not good, but in a very cultural sense. I think it's a pretty okay put together film. But it is just very much a product of its time, and that does not work now. Like it's kind of hilarious in how 90s action movie it is, and the music, oh the electronic rave music throughout, and fucking Steven Dorff, like that dude hawks e-cigarettes now. Like that man has not been in a movie that wasn't direct to streaming in ages, but here he's the main villain. Chris Christopherson, Wesley Snipes, young. I don't think of it as young Wesley Snipes, but he is young in this compared to like, and it's just so much of the plot doesn't make sense. So much of the plot doesn't have to be there. This was the first movie that I saw Donald Logue in. Actually, full stop. Before this, I thought he was just the dad from Grounded for Life, the shitty Fox sitcom. But in this, he's a fucking vampire guy. And this was my first introduction to the fact that Donald Logue is actually a fairly accomplished character actor who does a lot of interesting roles. But back then, I was like, what the hell is he doing here? Yeah, it's not good. It's it has some real funny morality in it in places. And things that sort of still hold to this day, like one of the characters became a vampire hunter, determined to wipe out all the vampires because a vampire killed his family. And I'm like, so the answer to why do you hunt vampires is, well, one vampire did some terrible shit and killed my family, so I decided to eradicate the species. He doesn't say that, but I'm like, that's what you're doing. That's weird. Especially because we're set in a world where vampires exist alongside humans in secret and by and large do not bother humans. So weird,
right?
Call,
but I mean, but that's certainly a very bigoted and a metaphor, I suppose, for
and unaddressed bigotry. And it's just accepted,
like it's okay, like right?
Like there's a bit there's a bit where the bad guy and Blade have a conversation. And the reason it's a conversation and not a fight is because the vampire is holding an innocent child by the neck in public.
Mm.
Nobody's paying any attention, but I think it's probably New York, so maybe that makes sense. I don't know. But what finally breaks the tension is that the villain taunts Blade enough that he pulls out his gun and tries to shoot him. Like, that's insane, right?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, he's lucky he's in a movie, so the villain, for some reason, doesn't kill the child he was holding by the neck,
yep,
right and away. Instead throws the child in front of a bus so he can run away so Blade can go save the child. But I'm like, yeah, you did the thing that you were pretty sure would get that kid killed because that dude made fun of you.
Yeah,
you suck.
When I first heard of Blade, I thought this is actually a pretty interesting premise. And then I was watching it,
the comic
a lot of
book I've heard can be cool.
Yeah, I thought a lot of the design and a lot of the lore was also this is really good. But then the execution of the actual film, you know, the plot and stuff was disappointing. And I thought, how can they take such a really interesting premise and lore and set design and all this stuff get it right, but they get so much of the rest of it wrong? It's like, it's
because
really
it was the late 90s and goth punk edgelordism was the flavor of the day. And I know because I was fucking living it. Vampire the Masquerade was at its height.
Oh, really?
We all saw this shit and thought it was the coolest shit ever. And there are some weird similarities between this and The Crow in very superficial stylistic ways.
Yeah.
Like, I do not want to claim the movies are near each other. Also, it's the 90s, so, like, it's important that Blade is black, but only for stylistic reasons. Like, otherwise, he could easily just be a white dude, and the movie would be exactly the same, except for certain times he gets to say slang things in a certain way or do impressive handshakes with people, and that's, like, the only reason. I mean, I understand the character is, but, like, it didn't matter in this movie, except in the most surface level ways that, again, nowadays I don't think would fly quite the same. The lore is very inconsistent. And this is before the second one, we got Guillermo del Toro involved. So visually, that one is very striking. The third one, I recall sucking a lot, no pun intended. Like, one of those movies that, like, straight up, I already knew when I saw it in the theater, it was bad. That doesn't happen too often. But that one, I was like, yeah, it sucked, and nothing about it has changed since then. But yeah, this, it was a heck of a, I'm definitely glad I saw it again. It was pretty funny. Also, fun fact, and I guess spoilers, it's the fucking Blade, whatever. They kill off the Chris Christopherson character, aka the father surrogate. And then they just brought him back in the second one. I'm not even sure they even try to explain it, but he just is alive again in the second one.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. There may be some hand-waving explanation, but, like, dude shot himself in the head to stop becoming a vampire. And then he's just there in the second one.
Maybe it didn't take. Shot himself just a little too late.
Except he's not a vampire in the second one either. Also, vampirism gets cured a couple times in this movie, but that never comes up again. Also, I forgot Udo Kier is in this. Because back in the day, I didn't pay nearly enough attention to him being in stuff, but he's the head vampire of the ones that doesn't want to wipe out and enslave humanity. And so he is the old guard, as it were. And so he gets his comeuppance, I guess.
So what you're telling me is, if they tried to reboot and like make a fresh new Blade and create a whole series.
Well, they tried.
When?
Post credits of The Eternals. Mahershala Ali was supposed to be Blade.
Oh.
But that movie did poorly enough that they were like, never mind.
Oh, but okay. But what if they actually made a movie and not just teased it? It seems like they screwed up again, because all the reasons, all the cultural stuff going on in the 90s, there might be different cultural stuff going on now, but it's the kind of cultural stuff that can and does screw up movies. So I suspect if they tried again, they'd screw it up.
But the problem is the source material has a long and varied history, I believe, and I don't know enough about it. So I don't know.
I guess I don't either.
But no, it's not just that they had a post-credit sequence. Like, they literally were in development to make a Blade movie with Mahershala Ali. It wasn't just like a throwaway.
But why'd they give up on it?
Apparently because Eternal Strike, because Kit Harington was also supposed to be involved. There's another character attached to Blade that he's supposed to be, and that's actually how they sort of combined it. Because Kit Harington was in the Eternals as the boyfriend.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't know. Around the time of the Eternals was when a lot of things sort of got shuffled, because they were like this. I think that was the first signs that something is wrong with the MCU.
Well,
so then they were just like, nope, we're going to go back to basics. More Ant-Man.
I mean, that's too bad. I think I would watch another Blade movie. I mean,
yeah, the first time I heard Mahershala Ali, and also he would fucking nail it. He would be amazing.
You'd think so. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you'd think so. I wouldn't have a lot of hope they'd get it right, because, you know, that nobody gets anything right anymore. But I would give it a chance for sure. For sure, I would. Because I think it's I think it's an interesting idea. I do. I think it's like, oh, you could do interesting things with this. They didn't.
At this point, it is a bit of a trope.
I suppose
there have been a lot of the half vampire that hunts vampires,
the Daywalker, and all that.
Also I believe that is very closely adjacent to vampire who doesn't want to be a vampire anymore and hunts vampires, has also been done 1,000 times. So your Blood Reigns, your Forever Knights, your Soul Reavers, there's lots of those.
Right, but you know, there's a lot of successful properties that are a story people have seen 1,000 times. You just have to tell it well. You just have to tell it well, that's all. You have to craft the heck out of it. That's
not what we do these days.
No, we don't. We don't.
You watch season 2 of Loki yet?
No. We probably will, though, because I kind of liked the first one. It was.
We will. I did too. And I definitely think we'll watch it, or at least I want to watch it. There's that, and then the Marvels, and then I don't know that I'll mess with any of it anymore. We'll see.
Well, if they make Blade, I'll watch it. I will, and hopefully it would be great. I would think that,
but
would
they
be
awesome. Won't, and it would.
So, you're probably fine. Right. You're right. You're probably right on both counts. It's too bad.
Did I tell you they're making a fourth Hell House? Hell House LLC?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I knew that.
Hell House LLC is one of my favorite found footage movies. I think it is quite good. When I originally saw it, I did not think it was quite good. And then I went on to see a lot more found footage movies and realized it's actually quite good compared to most of them. They went on to do a sequel that was not as good. And then they went on to do a third one that rounded out the trilogy that was pretty bad. And it's hard to say this for all that all three of the movies were almost exactly the same. But it just didn't take as well. They have made a fourth one, and it is coming to Shudder on the 30th, and I'm sadly excited for it, although I don't understand why it's being made. It's actually in a different location, but it's in the same universe, and it's tied in, and the trailers talk about, like, everything will be answered, which I find very confusing, because I thought everything was answered at the end of the third one. I'm like, it wasn't good, but you did wrap up all your plot point. I did not have any questions afterwards. Well, except why did you do it that way? Because that was dumb, kind of thing. Like, at the last second, we just abandoned the found footage conceit for the first time in three movies, just completely.
Wow, really interesting.
So, yeah, it was weird. And it was weird, dumb, cutesy sort of ending. But, I mean, I had no more questions. But, yeah, this is the fourth one. And I'm it's the same people. And it's very clearly this time they got a real budget for it, which is probably bad news.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited for it. We're kind of running out of stuff to watch, too. It's a little early. We still got a good 8 days left before the end of the
season. Well, I do like, as you were saying, I do like things that are actually examining claims of people who think they've experienced real things. One show that we started to watch was that was examining claims of people who have claimed to have had experiences with like UFOs and aliens and everything else. I'm very interested in that stuff because... You know, unfortunately, in our culture, we think we have very, and we've talked about this before, we have very narrow ways of dealing with human experiences, right? A person either experienced it, or they're liars, or they're crazy. Like, there's, and that is just not the only three options at all. And it does make people really want to hold on to their own perceptions and say things like, I know what I saw, which whenever I hear someone say that, I just think to myself, I would never have that much confidence in anything. You know, if someone, if I witnessed a crime and someone said, and I told them what the person looked like and told them everything happened, if they said, are you 100% sure that's exactly how it happened? I'd say, well, no, I'm a human being. This is my best recollection. I'm not 100% certain of that.
I mean, that is a good one. I never think of that. I know what I saw is a dangerous sentence in that you can't know because your memory plays tricks on you.
Yeah, but and your perception does.
The one too. I always have, I don't think of that one, but I always hate I know what I saw because I'm like, let's assume your memory didn't play tricks on you. That still proves nothing.
Yeah.
Because your brain could have played tricks on you, or you could have seen it from an angle that it looked exactly like what, like, right. Even if you are recollecting exactly right, that doesn't mean that's what happens.
No. Plus, you're prone to all kinds of suggestions. So if you're with people and they're all talking about it, experiencing a certain way, even if you didn't, like, even if we go back in time and look in your brain and see that you did not perceive it exactly that way, you'll swear that you did, because that's just how the mind works. And here's the thing. I don't know when it happened in my childhood, but at some point in my childhood, I realized, I can't completely trust my perceptions. I can't completely trust my emotions. I can't completely trust my memories. That's how human beings work. So to me, when it was sort of like somehow in the process of going from being a child to an adult, you learn things like other people have different perspectives than I do. Other people have different beliefs, and that's okay. And another thing is some people perceive things completely differently than I do in a given situation. I can't always rely on my memories. I mean, this is all part of being an adult. And yet I hear people say all the time, particularly adults, I know what I saw. I'm certain of this. I think, how did you not, when you were growing up, did you not ever experience something that later on you realized you were wrong about, or, you know, that you were succumbed to suggestion and now you realize that's the case?
It is a hard lesson sometimes, though. I have conversations with people about trivial stuff, how things went, plots of movies and things like that. And they'll just be like, nope, that was definitely this. I'd be like, are you sure? I thought I remembered it like this. And they're like, no, definitely. And it'll turn out I'm right sometimes. And I'm just like, where did you get that? Like, at a certain point, unless you think I'm an idiot, the fact that I am arguing so strongly against you should at least make you go, no, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Least stop the tone of, no, it is definitely a fact. And the thing is, I also did this, maybe even still do this sometimes. The way I often couch it is, I'd be willing to bet a significant amount of money. But I don't do it as much now because I've learned. But sometimes this is people who are older than me. And I'm like, how did you not learn this lesson? Especially when I know you and I have proven you wrong
many times.
Sometimes you were right. You were wrong.
Well, and so now, and today in our culture, we have this thing called the Mandela effect, where people are so certain that they experienced a thing that they couldn't possibly have experienced. I'm sorry, you couldn't possibly have done it. But instead of going, well, you know, my memory is unreliable. I'm humanless like everybody else. I make mistakes.
It's proof that we're in a simulation.
Yeah, you are just so certain that this happened. And it's like, no, it didn't. I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm not expecting them to have any more insight than I expect for myself. I often am wrong about things. I often have to admit, oh, I guess it wasn't like that. But I don't understand why they can't just do that. Why do they have to be so certain that it was Berenstein Bears instead of Berenstein Bears or whatever it is? It's like, come on. This doesn't even matter in the grand scheme of things. But you're convincing yourself there's a grand conspiracy or something because you just refuse to admit that you just remember it wrong. Because we remember things wrong all the time. We're human beings. That happens. It's okay. But like I said, you're either lying or you're crazy, you know, or you remember it exactly right. And people won't allow anything other possibility. And I think that's really weird because
I still stick for those three. I just think everybody's crazy. All the time,
so. I don't know, man. I just don't.
I don't. This is a thing that I get a lot nowadays. I get bothered not by what people say, but the way they say it.
Mm.
And sometimes I think it's legit. Like, because people can say things that if you typed up a transcript sounds perfectly fine. But if you heard the like dripping sarcasm in their voice or saw the eye roll in their face, you're like, no, that's not.
Or that passive aggressive thing they got going
exactly,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Right, right.
But then I stop and I remember my father, who would get wildly angry at me, my mom, my siblings, anybody, for the tone of what they said. And I remember genuinely being like, I don't know what you're talking. Like, I genuinely was like, I meant it how I said it. And so like, I think I have to just treat it as a me problem, but it's hard sometimes because sometimes the way people say things like feels like they're insulting me or feels like they're shutting me out and things like that.
Like with the thumbs up emoji.
And so it's hard to respond as though that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
The older I get, the harder I, the more trouble I have dealing with people. I don't like the less good I am at dealing with people. And sadly, I think some of it comes down to the older I get, the more I care. I think I did better before when I just didn't give a shit about how people responded to me, sort of.
Right, right.
But well, but I mean, I had a wake up call a few years ago where a lot of people told, I asked them to tell me what kind of person they thought I was, what kind of friend. They said a lot of things that I was like, I had no idea people took that way. And so now I got to adjust. I catch myself nowadays where people do things that annoy me and then I stop and I'm like, you do that exact same thing. And then my brain says, yeah, but I do it in a funny way. And I'm like, that's nothing. That's not no. That no. You're not. I mean, there's three or four reasons why that's not a defensible position. Not the least of which is, I think many, many sitcoms have had bullies say something along those lines. That's not good. I don't know. But luckily, we got cats. Oh, let me tell you Addie's story. Addie's an asshole.
Oh. What's Gus do now?
He had to have surgery for some tooth extractions.
Oh, no, that's too bad.
No, this has been a long time coming. In the spring, he went in for his annual vet visit. The vet was like, you see these teeth? Yeah, they're going to have to come out this summer, so you need to do that. So, of course, at the height of summer, you know, October, I called him and scheduled his appointment. We took him in the morning, and they had him for several hours, and then we brought him home and he was stoned out of his mind. It was kind of funny. But there was a lot of things. I had to give him his pain. He had some pain meds that was just set to release over time that they put on the back of his neck. But I had to give him some pills. And then we were starting with soft food, you know, and all this. But he wouldn't necessarily eat it first. And this was Thursday. And they're like, if he's still not eating by Monday, we need to do something. I'm like, okay. And so we're trying. And he, this is the thing. This was also, this is the first time he's had any dental work. So it's the first time he's had his teeth scaled or the equivalent of like a cleaning for us. And apparently for cats, it can just feel weird to them. Mm. And sure enough, he like didn't, he wouldn't open his mouth much at all. He wasn't making a lot of noises or things, and in general wouldn't open his mouth. And if I'd take like one of the little tubes of like pureed meat or whatever, he'd want to sniff it, and he'd sniff it, and then he'd go, and then he'd run away. Like I think it made his mouth water, and he didn't know what to do that, and it just felt weird. And so this was the thing, and I was starting to stress about that. But then eventually he starts asking a little more normal, but he's still not eating or drinking. And then he starts drinking, but he starts doing, this is a thing that he's done before, but he was doing it exclusively. He dunks his fist in the bowl and then like sucks the water off of it. But he was like really different. So I woke up and the water bowl was across the kitchen and empty. And there was just like a giant puddle on the floor. I cleaned it up and I refilled it. And like 10 minutes later, I hear slosh, slosh, slosh. And I look and he's done it again. So I'm starting to worry. I'm like, we're going to do Monday. And I keep trying. I keep putting the soft food out for him. And I try and do the tubes and he'll sniff. And he stops doing the mouth thing, but he still doesn't want it. And he's at the point where he almost is acting normal, except for this thing. And I'm like, I guess Monday we're going to have to call. Whatever. So this morning, because it's Monday, people, don't forget we record Monday now. So this is Monday. I'm like, okay, we're going to try one more time. So I had a little meat tube and he came to see me for some pets and stuff. And so I had it sniffing. So then, no, he didn't like it. And he left. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to have to do it. Then a little while later, I hear somebody crunching kibble in the other room. And I'm like, it's his sister. It's got to be his sister. Because she's eating fine. But then I'm like, I gotta look. If I don't look, I'm gonna hate myself for it. I very quietly go over there and I look and it's fucking him. And as soon as he saw me, he's like, what? No, I wouldn't do nothing. And he left. And I'm like, we were like an hour away from calling the vet.
That's hilarious.
Man, we're getting a lot of dynamic shots this week because as he keeps running behind the thing,
she's the director of photography today.
But so yeah, so he's been really annoying me, but it's all good now because like I, seriously, that has been weighing on me since Thursday.
And yeah, again, so
like I feel like it's just the barest sliver of what it's like to have children. And so once again I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with all you breeders? Why would you want to do this? This is insane. So that's our spooky lesson for you this Halloween season. Why would you want to have kids?
Yeah, I guess this is our Halloween episode, technically.
No, we had this talk. It's not. Oh, no, it is. Yeah. We're going to record the next one before Halloween, but it won't get posted until after Halloween. Oh, damn it. I would have been way spookier in this episode. All right. So we got to go now. Please email themagicaltalking@gmail.com. But before you go, I think it's important to tell you, William died 25 years ago on this very podcast.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.